We're going to move into a time now where we can share stories of what the Lord's been doing in the last year. It was my wedding anniversary on the 20th of December, and I walked out with the dog, and I was just, the dog, not my husband, I went out for a walk with the dog. He was at work. I went out for a walk, and I was just pondering the fact that it was my wedding anniversary, and I was thinking about the years that Jonathan and I had been together. And I was thinking about actually how faithful he's been, how loving he's been as a partner, and how different and how poorer my life would have been without him. How we've actually walked through thick and thin together, and how the feeling in my heart is actually I can face anything if he's there with me. And as I walked along, the Lord just said to me, "And isn't that true of me too? Remember those things about me," the Lord said. "Remember how faithful I am to you. Remember how much richer your life is because I'm in it. How I've never left you and how I've walked with you through all the difficult stuff of your life." And I thought, you know, that is so true. Psalm 103 says, Graham's going to get that up for us. "My soul, praise the Lord. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits." So what I'd like us to do is, Mick and Kerry are going to come back, and they're going to lead us in a time. We're going to have some songs playing for you to join in with. But what I'd like you to do is to come and tell those stories that you've got of how faithful God's been to you this year. Stories of his goodness, of his love. Let's encourage one another with the stories, and let's release faith and life and expectancy over one another for 2014. So let me ask you to stand. We're going to focus our hearts on God, and come forward, come get the microphone form from me if there's something that you'd like to share.
Look at all these people here. I came to this church about 7-8 years ago, and you were a lot of people. A lot of people were here, and they have seen me sort of crumble a bit. About 13 years ago, I'd given up smoking for 15 days, and then I had a heart attack. 8 months after that, I had a stroke, really a bad stroke, which I found it difficult to come. I was in hospital for 9 months, and I came out looking a bit like I am now. Actually, 8 weeks ago, I had a heart attack, and then I had another one in the hospital. And they said to me, "You know, you're going to have a heart transplant." But is that right? Oh. Well, and now I'm feeling very poor, actually. I can't breathe very well. I can't even put the harmonica to my lips. I can't even play that. But listen. Listen here. My brain has never gone backwards. I love coming here every Sunday. I love the Lord. And despite my sort of view you have of me, just remember that my brain has not questioned the life that I have. I love my life. I love God's life. Thank you for letting me come here. Amen.
Wow. Wow, guys. Let's just pray for Steve, shall we? Yeah, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that it is Steve's testimony, that you are his life, that, Lord, his body may fail, but Father God, you are the life in his heart. And we see in him somebody who loves you and who has life in him. And Jesus, we pray for him now as he waits for an operation, heart bypass operation. And Lord, we speak life into this body. We thank you for the life that's in this spirit, and we speak life into his body in Jesus' name. We say to this heart, be healed in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Arteries, be cleared in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that Steve's testimony of your unfailing love to him will continue, because you will never, ever let him go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
And if you're here and you are struggling in similar ways, know that God is there for you. He will never leave you. Never, never leave you.
I believe it's really clear that God is wanting to minister into broken hearts this morning. I felt it right from the beginning of the worship. That strange way to start a new year, I guess, but everybody thinks, oh, Happy New Year, let's get to it, let's bless one another, which is absolutely right. But there are some broken-hearted people here this morning who need to receive a touch from God. Because in brokenness, you can either push God away or you can embrace him even more strongly. I once heard a great man of God, a great hero of mine, Leonard Ravenhill, you might have read some of his books, I don't know, say, God breaks everything he uses. And that really impacted me. It's been one of my kind of, in the back of my mind for the rest of my life since hearing it. And some of you know, you don't need to know my story, but those of you who do know, the last 10 years have been pretty grim for me personally. And the temptation is to push God away and say, where are you? And to lose your faith. But if you resist that, because that's what the devil wants you to do, if you resist that and hold on to God more strongly, then you'll discover that in brokenness, you come closer to God than you ever could in joy and fulfillment and some of the better things of life. So knowing the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ is something that some of you are handling. And I can promise you that it's a beautiful place to be if you'll just allow him to come in. Isaiah says this in chapter 42. Now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Don't be afraid, for I will protect you. I call you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I am with you. When you pass through the streams, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your deliverer. I'd like to pray over you. If you want to, it doesn't matter whether you're standing or sitting, but if you have sat down and you want to respond to this because you feel that brokenness and you're perhaps angry with God and you're saying, why have you allowed this to happen to me, Lord? And you don't need to know why. You just need to say, I'm sorry that I'm pushing you away, Lord. I need you to walk with me through that valley experience. You just stand and however you feel you want to receive this. But I do want to pray for you. Father, I want to thank you that you didn't promise us an easy life. You promised us that if we followed you, there would be difficulties, there would be suffering. It would be the way of the cross, taking up the cross and following you. And Lord, I want to say sorry that I've pushed you away because of the things that have happened in my life. Illness, bereavement, difficulties with work, things that looked like they were going to destroy me. And I bring them to you now and I lay them at your cross. And I say, Lord, I know that you're a good God. I know that you love everything that you made. And you made me, so you love me. And I now receive a fresh touch from you. And I promise you, Lord, that in this year of 2014, I'm going to stick to you closer than I ever have. And if things get worse, I'm just going to get closer to you. Because I need you. And I need your touch. And I now receive your Holy Spirit, a spirit of love and joy and peace into my heart to replace the anger and the bitterness and the pain. Come on me now, Lord Jesus. Amen.
O King of Kings.
Hello, Happy New Year everyone. My name's Jill, for people who don't know me. I've been a Christian for 24 years this December, and I've been at River for 23 and three quarter years. So River's pretty much my home. And I've been married for 16 years, and I've got a happy life. I feel very fulfilled and contented. But this time last year, having been a Christian for such a long time, I've been in ministry and I've done all sorts of things, but I'm really busy, and my husband and I run our own business. We've got three children aged from 13 to 3.5, so quite a big spread there. And I did feel a bit like that street evangelism sketch where it said, you know, work, rest, play, work, work, rest, play. And then it was like, well, where's, you know, and then where's Jesus? What's the meaning of life? And I did feel a bit like that. My faith wasn't faltering. I didn't have any doubts. I just felt a bit stale. And it came to the point where I thought, well, if I can't make a weekly or fortnightly cell group because I'm working in the evenings, because our lifestyle means that with children we do work a lot in the evenings to run our own business, I thought there's something wrong here with my life. And so I, through various steps, I kind of changed that. And 2013 has been a year of rebirth, I guess. You know, it's been a really, really exciting time. It's not been always easy, because when you get closer to God and you have that intimacy, he does deal with stuff. You know, I always think about the shack and the picture of the Holy Spirit in the garden, and the Holy Spirit gardens. And it's beautiful, but it's also messy. And I think that's what your soul's like. And I say it has been hard at times, but it's been great because that's been positive. It's not been a negative thing. And I just want to encourage people who've maybe been out there for a long time, wondering what they're doing. And it's not about ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that presence. And that's been what I've been seeking. It's almost like I read this passage in a book that I read this time last year and decided to read again because I want to pursue into that, carry on this year. And it's this guy, and he's fallen in love for the first time. And he's on his bike, and he suddenly sees trees that he didn't notice before. And he sees a bird, and he sees a bird that, he, you know, he wouldn't notice those things before. And it's just in London, you know, it's nowhere particularly beautiful. But he sees through his eyes, he almost sees something else. He sees with love. And that's really what I, you know, it's almost like seeing the world and having moments of hallelujah that you didn't have before. And I'd really encourage you to kind of, you know, just see moments of hallelujah, moments of, thanks, Chris. Moments of kind of where you just think, God, that's God. You know, you could just be standing on a tube station, it's come to me. I've been lying in bed, and the other day I was lying in bed with my youngest, and I sometimes sing to her when she finds it difficult to get to sleep. And she said, no, I want to sing Hallelujah. And she wanted to sing Your Love is Amazing. And we sung it together in bed, and I thought, oh, this is so precious. It's not mundane. Life can be really ordinary, but with God, it's extraordinary.
At the beginning of the year, I just have this Bible app that signals me every day. And one of my favourite ever verses came up at the beginning of the year. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And a bit like what both the previous people have been saying, life isn't always the way we want it to be. And years and years ago, in the midst of various crises of mine, I remember saying to God, why? Why all of this? And what do I do with all of this? What's the point? And he very clearly said to me, it's like a dictionary. You put it on the shelf, and when you need to get the dictionary down, you can look back on those things and you can use those to minister to other people, or you can leave it. It's fine. The dictionary's fine. There's nothing wrong with what you've gone through, with what you're going through day to day. It's never an issue. Just get the dictionary down when you need it and move on. And a bit like Jill was saying, I remember in the midst of quite a lot going on in my life, cycling to work, thinking, if this is as good as it gets, that's fine. I've got me, I've got my kids, I've got my job. And sometimes I don't think we do appreciate the good stuff, that God is there. Regardless of how difficult things are around us, God is always there. And I remember somebody talking about after somebody and saying about coming, they went, oh, I don't really believe in God. No, it's fine, because he still believes in you. It's fine.
Do you know, God really does know us, doesn't he? That's what has amazed me this last year, is that God just really knows how to come to us, because he really knows what we need at each moment of each day. And I can just say that's really been my testimony of this year, is the way the Lord has come to me and has shown his nature and his character to me in the ways that I just need to know at the time. And what always amazes me is that God can be really, really surprising, because how we feel we need him to come to us can be different from how he comes. And I mean, when you think about the nature of Jesus and you think he was both a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, he knows the depths of pain and sorrow and grief through the cross. And yet he's also anointed with joy above his companions. That basically means that he is the happiest person in the whole world that has ever existed. And so my experience of this year is that he comes to me in the way I need to experience him at the time. And sometimes this year I've needed to know that he is a man of sorrows and he's acquainted with grief, and that he can understand my sorrow and my pain and the grief that I'm going through. And sometimes he just comes to me as the happiest God, the most joyous God. And I just never know how he's going to come to me, which is why when I'm spending time in prayer, or as I'm, just as Jill said, you're just going through the door, through the day, looking for those moments, I just never know how he's going to come. You know, and my experience this year when, you know, halfway through the year I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, is that the Lord came to me laughing. I mean, that is just outrageous. And I told him that it's outrageous, because you really shouldn't laugh at people with cancer. And I said, God, how can you come at me and you can laugh when I've got cancer? And he says, because I am outrageous. And he says, I want you to know that I am going to be outrageous in your life, and I'm going to be outrageous in joy, and I'm going to be outrageous in laughter, and I'm going to be outrageous in what I'm going to do in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That didn't mean that he wasn't taking seriously what was happening to me. But he knew what I most needed was to be with a God who knew joy and who knew love and who knew laughter and life. And so I just really want to share that as my own personal testimony, that I never know how God is going to come to me, but he's always surprising and he's always good and he knows me so well. And just to say that there's a ministry here in River called Sozo, which ministers to people on a weekly basis. And every week people come and sit for a ministry appointment, a time of encounter with Jesus. And I just really honour the team who spend time with people in their vulnerability and their brokenness. And we don't stand up the front and we don't share the stories, because these are confidential times. And these are people's very, very deep, vulnerable personal moments. And I just want to say that week after week, we sit and we see this amazing God coming to people in just the way they need to hear him and encounter him to find freedom and joy and release and forgiveness and a new life that is abundant. And as I say, we can't stand up and talk about it every week. We can't tell you all the personal stories. So I just really want to say as a blanket testimony that week after week after week after week here in River, the Lord is coming and coming and coming, and people are encountering him and their lives are being transformed. And that is because he is so, so amazing.
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. You know, last year was a really good year for me, 2013. God's been very gracious to me, you know, given me the most amazing job. And as we come into a new year, it's been my real privilege to see so many guys who can look forward to this year with so much more hope and optimism and just a confidence and a peace about them than they had in many years before. And so I'd just like to kind of put the question to myself and to all of us, really. How's 2014 going to be a better year for you? How's 2014 going to be a better year for me? And you know what? I think the time when we're happiest is when we're really connecting with God, and I'm just going to say that for this year I want to connect with God even more. And you know, I saw many prayers answered last year, many prayers, and this coming year I want to be praying more prayers for salvation for people, more prayers for healing, more prayers for God's protection, more prayers for people's relationships, more prayers for people's finances, for jobs. You know, God is just so for us. He's so for us. And I just encourage all of you, pray more. Because, you know, the joy that you get, you know, so God hears every prayer, every prayer. And sometimes we see answers very quickly, and that really encourages us. And sometimes we don't see the answers straight away, but in a kind of strange way, when those answers come 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years later, it's kind of, wow, you know what? I'd even forgotten that I prayed that prayer. God hadn't forgotten. It was in his timing. So, you know, we can determine... You know, we can't determine to be more loved by God. We are also completely loved by God, but we can determine to know more of his love, to allow ourselves that time just to get closer to him, to allow him to direct our lives more, to just know his ways. And just a very quick testimony. Julian spoke the other week about allowing your life to just be consistent. So God in your life, in your personal life, at work, at home. And I thought, well, how does that affect me? Because when I'm at work, it's kind of in my job description to be talking about God. Yeah, I'm always, you know, talking to guys about faith, about believing in God, praying. But I thought, you know, perhaps I should kind of broaden my horizons a bit. And so I'm in Maidenhead one morning before Christmas, and I pop in the barbers to get my hair cut, and it's just me and the two guys. And most of you probably know the barbers in the cheap one, $6.99. Yeah. Anyway, these two guys... I thought, you know, you can just sit there and have a haircut, can't you, and not chat to them. But I thought, you know, I'm going to speak to these guys. And really interesting conversation, actually. They're Kurds, and they were telling me about Kurdistan and how, you know, their country's been sort of diminished by, it's been taken over, really, by Turkey and Iran and what have you. And really that their nation's has been attacked on all sides. And they were talking about their faith. They said they were Muslims, so we just started talking about that. And I said, oh yeah, I really fancy going to Turkey, you know, fancy going to Ephesus, etc. And just out of the blue, really, one of them said, you know, tell me about your Bible. So started. He said, you have so many different versions. I said, well, it's all the same. It's just some languages. Some of them are more modern than others. And everybody can have their preference. But the meaning of the verses are the same. And there's so much good truth. And he said, yes, I know. I like your Bible. I've started reading your Bible. So if anybody else goes in there, these guys are very open. Anyway, God bless you.
Hi, guys. This kind of follows on from what some of the other guys were saying, really. 2013 was quite a big year for us as a family, and me personally, a lot of stuff happened. And it would have been a year to probably quite easily sit back and just get on with the things that were happening. You know, we had our second baby and things like that. But I was watching something, and this guy was preaching. And I apologise now. This is a bit sexist what he said, but it was not my words. He said he was a pastor, and he said it was Father's Day, and he said any other Sunday, I'm at church early, and I'm preaching, so I'm there. He said, but it was Father's Day, so I wasn't preaching because he had children. He said, so I was at home, and I was going to go to church with my wife and children. He said, and his wife was taking ages to get ready, and he's looking at his clock, and he's like, I'm not preaching today, but I need to be there on time. He's pushing and pushing, and in the end he says, come on, just get in the car, you'll have to get ready on the way, we haven't got time, I can't wait for you, basically. And he said that is exactly how God is with us. If we sit around and we wait to be ready for things, that we just won't do them, or they won't happen, or they'll take too long. He said, I just felt God say, just get in the car, we'll get ready on the way. And for me, that spoke to me. And, ended up getting baptised. And, you know, we had Daisy, who's a real blessing. And we've dealt with lots of stuff. But it was kind of last year, just thinking about it then, actually, was kind of, it summed it up, really. It was just stop waiting for things to happen. Just get on with it, and God will help you deal with it, you know. And I think that's probably summed up 2013 for us. And it's the same for 2014, because everybody's busy, you know, we've all got stuff going on, but you just gotta just step into it, push into it, and God will help you. You just have to trust him, to kind of give you the words when you need them, and those sorts of things. So I would say just get in the car and you'll get ready on the way. Trust God to help you.
Well, that follows on there. I follow on quite well from that, because what I'm going to talk about is acting on what God says. And last year for me it was a great year. I had two new grandchildren, and you could just sort of rest on that, or you could spend your life worrying about the cancer and is it going to progress or not. But God's not like that. He wants you to move on in life, and he wants you to just keep going, keep listening to those small words. So I was chatting to Di, who some people know runs the Ignite course, with a couple of the others. And she didn't even ask me if I wanted to do it, but I thought, God just said, do it. Because I was a bit lukewarm. And this Ignite course is really good. It gives you a good insight into the ways of God, the Bible, and all sorts of things. There's a few of us here. I can see David smiling at the back, who's on it with me. And it's just grabbing those opportunities. Just those small words you hear him say. You know, do you do it or don't you? You've always got a choice. So with that end, sometimes God wants to talk to people through you. And the young man on the back there, yeah, you sir. Yeah, God said to me, just tell him that the pains of the past are going to be a great asset for the future. You've got a heart for other people. You can help change other people's lives. He just wants you to know that this morning. You're not disqualified. You've got every qualification, but you just have to grab the opportunity.
Hi, I rarely come out, and I just felt I had to do this because living in the UK, sometimes you tend to, well, for me personally, I am from Nigeria, for those of you who don't know. When you live in Nigeria, you tend to pray quite often because of the way things are. The roads aren't very good. In some parts, you're faced with a lot of dangers and stuff. But when you come over here to the UK, everything works fine. You drive on the road, people stop for you, people do not horn, people trafficate when they should. And I just want to thank God for keeping me and protecting me, really. I thank God for keeping me alive today because I might not have been here today, but God has been faithful to me. 2013 as well, for me and my family, I'll say it's a year, has been a year of thanksgiving to God and with my mom, my dad, my brothers, and the things they've gone through back home as well. So I'm really here just to say thanks to God and that I appreciate him and that I honor him. Thank you.
Thank you, Obi. And you know what, Obi, we're really glad to have you with us. Thank you for being part of our church family.
Kerry's just asked me to explain what I've been doing. One of the things that God was speaking to me about was about this coming year being a year of opportunity, and are you going to take it? Are you going to listen to him and encounter him? And the whole thing of pressing the default button, the factory reset button. When Adam and Eve walked in the garden, they encountered God daily. I'm going to press the reset button. I'm going to encounter him daily. And as part of that, I've set out a thing about dreaming, because God wants to encounter you in many, many ways. And so up here are things that just may trigger a dream or something that he's put on your heart. And I ask if you want to take it, if there's something apart from the big picture and a couple of my books, you are very happy to take that thing if that's what God's speaking to you about for this coming season. There's cards and there's paper at the bottom if there's something that God just wants to speak to you about. So I just encourage you, encounter him.
As we draw to a close this morning, I've got a really short declaration for us all to read out together. But what I'd like to do is to pray. I'd like to pray over us as a church family. So, will you just bow your heads? Our Father and our God, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we know we need your presence and your guidance as we face the future. All of us have hopes and expectations for the year ahead, but you alone know what it holds. And it is you who will give us the strength and wisdom we need to meet its challenges. So help us to humbly put our hands into your hand and to trust you and seek to follow you during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, you will assure us of the certainty of your unchanging love. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and comfort we need. You will be there for us. In the midst of life's temptations, help us not to lose our way, but to have courage to do what is right in your sight, regardless of the cost. As we look back over this past year, we thank you for your goodness to us, far beyond what we have deserved. Never let us forget all your kindness to us, but help us to make you the foundation and center of our lives this year. And so, our Father, thank you for the promise and hope of this new year. And we look forward to it with expectancy and faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I've got here a declaration which ends, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if that's something you'd like to say this morning, shall we say this together? Okay. Father, you have drawn us with an everlasting love. You have drawn us with your loving kindness. This new year, your generous provision overflows with the material, physical, and spiritual blessings that only a loving, caring Heavenly Father can give. We choose this first Sunday of 2014 to declare to all who will hear, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Amen, everybody.